are you excited about being at Fuse this week? Anybody? I am telling you what, we have been so excited. We've been praying for you guys. So my name's Travis. I get to be the camp pastor this week, which I am very, very humbled and privileged to do so. But I always feel better when I get to know people's names, so this will help me out a little bit before we just sort of open this week up. I need to hear your name really loud on three. One, two, three, go. Feel way better now. Awesome. So this week, if you've got your Bible, I want you to pull it out whenever we come in here. If you've got one, bring it along with you. We're going to turn just for a few moments to one of my favorite passages in all the Bible, in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, where this theme comes from. The week that we are going to be spending together, we're going to be dissecting this theme called Unashamed. What it means to be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I got to tell you where this passage really drilled in my own heart. I was in college and I decided that I was going to do that, you know, very spiritual thing and go on an international mission trip. And then I decided I was going to go for two just because I would be way more spiritual than everybody else. Found a great opportunity. This is, I can remember the yellow sheet of paper. It said, we need a team to go backpacking through the mountains of Asia and smuggle illegal Jesus films. And I was like, yes. And so I was going up and down the hall to all my friends, be like, hey, who wants to smuggle Jesus films this summer? And they're like, I need to pray about that, which is AKA, I'm not going. Or, you know, so they would pray about it. And some people would come and some people would say, no, I got to talk to my mom or I got to talk to my girlfriend. Anyway, after a long series of events, we got a team of 10. We were really excited to go. The only problem was is that we had to raise some money to get there. And so what I decided, I was going to get me a good job. And so I started working on an assembly line, making the bottom sashes of windows, skylights, which was awesome. All day long, I'd take a piece of wood from this pallet here. I put it in this little machine, and I'd take this little drill, go zzz, zzz, zzz. And I put it up and I would get in another thing, and that's what I did for 8 to 9 hours a day, 5 days a week, all summer long, getting ready for this mission trip because I want to go tell people about Jesus, right? Well, as I'm there working in this place here in South Carolina, I realize this, that some of my coworkers are not that close to Jesus. You can just sort of tell by the words that they say, some of the things that they do. But it was a little bit awkward for me just to begin the conversation. Number one, I try not to have spiritual conversations when people have power tools in their hands. It's kind of an easy rule for me, okay? But it was also very loud in that place, but I was always praying about these opportunities. There's one guy named Tony that was working right down the line for me that I just felt like the Lord. Have you ever had that moment where the Lord's like, you need to talk to this person? And I'm like, me? And he's like, yeah, you. Like, you need to go and talk. And I couldn't do it. I mean, these people were rough, okay? I mean, I was trying to get used to it and get sort of in the system. I can remember one day when I got bored of doing those bottom sashes of the window over and over and over again, I accidentally started to put a little bit of the screw in my hand. The little electric screw did not feel good whatsoever. So I did what they told me to do. If you start bleeding, go to the first aid kit. And so I walk up to the first aid kit, and there's this little sticker around the first aid kit that you got to break to get into it, okay? And beside it, there's this little sign that says 149 days in an accident-free zone. And I was like, well, congratulations, everybody. Great. I guess I'm going to break that. And I start to rip off the tape to get a Band-Aid, and then all of a sudden this large hand, the size of the Loch Ness Monster, literally just goes, whoom, and stops my hand. And I was like, hey. And it turned out to be Miss Betty. Miss Betty had been working there for a long time. She was about the size of a refrigerator. And I was like, and she came up, and she's like, what are you doing, boy? And I said, I started to put a screw in my hand, bleeding a little bit, gonna get a simple Band-Aid, go back to work. She goes, you ain't getting no Band-Aid. And I was like, Miss Betty, I'm bleeding. She goes, you see that sign, boy? And I said, yes, ma'am, 149 days. Yay, way to go. And she said, you know what happens on day 150? And I said, what? She goes, if we go 150 days without an accident, we getting a bonus check. I said, well, I'm sorry, I'm literally bleeding all over the place right now. And she goes, I don't think you understand. I'm going out this weekend, and I'm getting my bonus check, Travis. And I was like, yes, ma'am. And so I just bled the rest of the day. And so as I'm bleeding the rest of the day and trying to think of all these people I want to go over and share the gospel with Asia, literally this guy, Tony, I was telling you about that I had such a heart for, came up to me, and he's yelling something, but the machines are so loud, I cannot hear what he's saying. He's just yelling something, and finally I get through where he gets so close to my face, and he yells out, hey, are you saved? And I went, yeah. Are you? No. And he just walks off. I yes. I grabbed him and I was like, what? I said, why did you ask me? He goes, I'm just wondering. And he just keeps walking off. And so at break time, I was trying to figure out what happened. Well, he started having these questions and he wanted to talk to somebody about it. And I was sitting there and I started to have my little unashamed gospel moment. But here's the problem. I was already behind in this conversation because he was the one who had to ask me about the most important relationship in my life. He was the one who had to say, are you a Christian? I was like, and I hadn't gotten around to it yet. Can I just tell you guys this? If people have to ask you if Jesus is the most important relationship in your life, you've already answered them. Somebody has to ask you if he is the most important relationship in your life. You've already answered. You've already given the answer. It should be something inside of us that wells out, that it just literally is the overflow of the heart, which Matthew 12:34 says, that if he's in your heart, he's going to sort of bubble out of your mouth, like you're going to speak of him. And my problem was this, is that I was so busy about going on mission out there that I couldn't share the gospel right here. In Romans chapter 1, Paul is talking to a group of people who are followers of Jesus, and he is trying to tell them in a very trying time where the government and the culture around them are not following Jesus, this is what it's going to take to last in this culture. For a group of people who are unashamed of the gospel, look what he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And let's just sort of stop and look at this for a second. He's not ashamed of the gospel. He's saying, look, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is a message of good news. I was sharing this one day with a buddy who came into my office one day. He was trying to figure out some issues. I start telling him about Jesus' love for him. I tell him what it means to be a Christian. And he literally, this guy, he's done a lot of different stuff in his life. He literally goes, dude, this is good news. And I was like, that's actually what they call it. He's like, no way. I'm like, way. You know, like, that's actually what they do. They call this good news. And he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the good news, for it is the power of who? God. Is it the power of us? No, we can't do this. We can't earn salvation. It's going to have to come from him. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew and also to the Greek. Let me just tell you what that means. To the very religious people and the very irreligious people. People who've grown up in religious activity, the gospel is the power for salvation for them. For those who are completely never been in a church, never read a Bible, never had a spiritual thought in their life, the gospel is still salvation for each and every one of them. And he says this, verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Now this is huge because this passage actually comes from the Old Testament. The only way that you can live righteous or I can live righteous is this. We don't do it by living rightly. How many of you have done a really good job at that? I haven't. I mean, I literally, some of you are like, oh, I can do this on my own. Good luck. The righteous are going to live by faith. What does that mean? It means that I believe that God is holy, God has set up rules, and I have rebelled against those rules. And the wages of sin is, some of you know the answer to this, the wages of sin is death, and that's a problem. And so that means that that's going to be my lot in life unless somebody comes in and saves me. The power of God for salvation is when Jesus comes down, comes to the cross, takes my sins, takes your sins, he takes the punishment for them, we take his righteousness, there's this beautiful trade, and we get to have abundant life now and eternal life forever after. That's what this message is about. And how do we get it? Do we earn it? No, it's by faith. It's by believing in this truth, believing in this gospel. This week, we're going to unpack what it means, what the gospel actually is, so that you will know it, how you embrace it, how you live it out, how you share it with other people. Like, we're going to go through all of that together. And some of you are going to be like, yeah, been there, done that. You know what I'm praying for you? That God will shake the cobwebs off your heart, and once again, you will pray to the Lord, will you restore to me the joy of your salvation? Some of you have gotten used to the fact that you're saved, and I pray that God just blows that off this week. Some of you have never really heard the gospel. You're just like, look, somebody drugged me here. I didn't even know we were coming to church camp. They literally just stuck me on a van. I have no idea what I'm getting into, and that's great. We are so excited. We're going to help explain what this means to you, what it means to be a follower of Jesus and what it means the gospel. When you think through it, I know this. If you think about, well, unashamed of this, I always think of it this way. I may be ashamed of my past progress and performance, but I am unashamed of the gospel. Any of you, like, have just a perfect track record in here? Anybody? Anybody? Hey, good. We're at that place where, like, some of you are like, am I supposed to raise my hand there? No, you don't. If I look back over my shoulder, I am ashamed of my past. There are some things in my life that I go, yeah, I know that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But man, how many of you wish you could press rewind on that summer or that time in your life or that season and just go, ooh, I wish I could go back and just erase all that. Anybody want to testify to that? Anybody? Okay, good. We got some honest people here. If I could just press rewind, because I am ashamed of some of the stuff in my past, right? Any of you ashamed of the progress that you made? Anybody got to the place in your life where you're going, man, I've been following Jesus for long, and I feel like I started here, and I sort of had a big jump, and I've just been floating here for a long time. No progress. This time last year, you came to the same type of camp, and you're like, I'm still in the same place. You may be ashamed of your progress where you're at. Some of you are ashamed of your performance. You know right now, like, I should be doing more. I should be able to be giving more. I should be seeing more fruit in my life. And you go, it's just not there. And if I'm like you, you're like me, I would say this. There are many things I'm ashamed of in my life, but I am unashamed of the gospel. Because it is good news. Because what the good news is that you and I couldn't do this on our own. We could not make it to heaven, and so heaven came down looking for us. And so really, what does it mean for the gospel? It means this. If your description of following Jesus doesn't sound like good news, it is not the gospel. If your description of following Jesus doesn't sound like good news, it is not the gospel. You may or may not have these people in your church. I do. They are some of the most miserable people in the world that are like, I'm just following the Lord. And I'm just like, wow, that sounds awful. You know, it's just like the way they describe it, the way they go after, like, it is the worst thing in the world to follow Jesus. And I'm like, man, that must be rough. Like, if talking about following the Lord seems a burden to you, we're not getting it. This is good news. This isn't bad news. There's like, yeah, well, you know, I want to go out with my friends, but got to follow Jesus. It's like, no, you know, you don't get it. Following Jesus is good news. It's the best news I've ever heard. It is the life most enriching, most purposeful way to live. When you say, I'm just going to lay down what I want and follow after him with everything that I have, it is good news. I almost had to call this camp. I was here last week with the previous week of camp. I almost had to call Director Sean Marie about 3 days before the camp started and said, Sean Marie, I'm not going to be able to come. There was a lot of stuff going on in our family at the time, and actually, long story, very, very short, my wife had gotten very sick, very ill. We had gone to the ER, had to go back to the ER a second time, stay in the hospital a few days, trying to figure out what was going on. And I can remember thinking, like, I'm not going to be able to go. They're going to have to pull somebody else in. And so I was getting all the stuff ready to sort of send off and do this. And what had happened was that she had gotten sick. We just sort of had one of these kind of weird kind of situations happen. The first time we had went into the hospital, I go in there, and there's some people in our church who work in the emergency rooms. So I'm like going to be like, hey, I'm going to call my friends and get us in here. And she's like, no, I don't want to see anybody we know. I'll be embarrassed. You know, just let this be. Don't call on anybody. Don't wave at anybody. Don't try to do anything, this kind of stuff. So that happens. We go in the ER. They send us back home. On Wednesday morning, when the pain had picked up so much, and she says, you've got to go back to the hospital, I remember bringing her into the ER, and she calls out the names of the doctors that I know, and he's like, is Dr. Graham here? Is Dr. So-and-so here? And they said, well, Dr. Graham is here. She goes, you tell him that Travis Agnew's wife is out here, and she needs him now. And at this moment, like, I was so overwhelmed that my wife was hurting so bad, but I thought, she's proud of me. She's happy to be married to me. This is awesome. Like, I've always been like, how in the world am I married to somebody like her? But like, for once, I was like, hey, she's getting something out of this. This is good. Like, just in that moment, she was unashamed to be married to me. And I was happy. And I was like, that's right, baby. I'll get you in the ER. If I do nothing else in this life, I'm going to get you in the ER. And all of a sudden, this nurse runs out and gets her in a wheelchair and takes her back there and helps out. And you know, I think what it was at that point was that she was at such a rough place that she said, the only hope I've got is that I've got to call on something to be able to help me. And in that moment, she was, for the sake of illustration, she was unashamed to be married to me in the same way that there has to come a point in each of our lives where we realize that we're at a place where we cannot be ashamed of the name of Jesus to call on. And saying, out of all the things in this world that we can pull on, all the things that we can put our hope in, that at this point that we just say, you know what, if I'm going to do anything, like, I'm going to be unashamed, like, I need him. And some of you right now, you desperately need him, and you don't even know it. Just things are off inside. Everything that you're trying is just messing up, and you feel like, and some of you are at that dangerous spot where you're at church camp, but you got one foot in, and you got one foot back at home, and all kinds of other stuff, and you're trying to figure out which way to go. And at some point this week, if you don't get to the place to say that I'm unashamed of the gospel, like he is my only hope, he's my only purpose for living, it's going to be the slippery slope when you go back home. And so my prayer for each of us is that we would be able to say like Paul, that I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation, each and every single one of us in this room. And this week, as God continues to show that through his word, I just can't wait to see what he does in this place, in your heart and in mine. And so, Father, I ask that in this time, Lord, that you would remind us of the truths of your gospel, what it means to live for you in the hope of the gospel, what it means for us, Lord, not to be concerned so much about all the external things of this world, but to be caught up in the good news of the saving power of Jesus Christ. I pray over these students, these leaders, Lord, may we be more caught up in the good news of Jesus Christ this week. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and all God's people said,